the minutes and the closure of the meeting. After I've adjourned the meeting and allow our guests, including the department and the entity, to take their leave, I request that members of the committee remain behind so that we have a multi-party caucus that have been requested. We'll give the details when that time comes. Do I have the support of the members on the proposed amendment on the agenda? Thank you very much, Rusimare.
Yes, Chairperson, that's in order.
Thank you very much. I take that other members support what Honorable Mare has requested. Thank you very much, members. Having said that, I've already welcomed everyone in the room, and I take that the apologies they get submitted to the committee secretary or the personnel of the portfolio committee, and I take them as reflected on the register. Okay, I'm being informed that Ms. Nobanda requested to leave the meeting a little bit earlier to join the other meeting. Thank you so much. Then having dealt with those administrative matters, can we now move to item 3 and allow Alesco to make a presentation, and then the department will add at the end if there are any additions or clarifications after the members have deliberated with Alesco. Who's going to lead us? And I think that there might be new members of the board in Alesco. If that's the case, I would like the department to start by introducing the new members of the board. Thank you.
Good morning, Chair, and good morning to the members of the Portfolio Committee. We do not have new members of the board, Chair. What we have a new chairperson of the board, Mr. Tidiso Matuna, who will introduce his team and make opening remarks, who was on the board, has now been elevated to chair the board of Alesco after the retirement of Ms. Hansi Matseke, who was the chair of the board preceding. Thank you.
By show of hand, who is the chair that you are referring to? Thank you very much. Members, can you see the new chairperson of the board? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Now it's in order that I give it over to you, Chair. And then we'll introduce your delegation. Thank you very much. You can make an opening remarks, and then your executive can take over as you so wish to make a presentation.
Okay. Thank you very much, Honorable Ngaga Gabashe, Chairperson of the committee. As has already been indicated, there is a transition that's underway at Alesco. The board has had its first tenure come to an end in September. The shareholder, Minister Gordon, requested a bit of time to finalize the appointment of a new board. So in a sense, I am an interim. I think that should be important. The minister's intention is to appoint a board shortly, and so we are an interim board, and I'm accompanied by Mr. Treben Hasbrook, who's a non-executive director, as well as Mr. Zembi Tanana, another non-executive director. I'm also with the CEO, Mr. Lemohang Pizzo, as well as the CFO, Mr. Attila Chogan. She will drive the presentation, which is a presentation on the results for the financial year 17 2017-2018. So we welcome the opportunity, Chairperson, to engage with the committee. We are here to account, but we're also here to get your feedback, your guidance, as we work together with yourselves and the shareholder to address the challenges of the company. and in regard to that, let me say that we are pleased as a board that we are reporting slightly positive financial results. I say slightly because it's a small profit, and it's actually largely an accounting profit, not so much a cash profit, but it does mean that the company is still in the black. However, the situation requires attention, and we'll come back to that issue later on in the presentation. We're also pleased that it's an unqualified the report is an unqualified audited report. We have an unqualified audit opinion, and we're very pleased with that. We talking about accounting and the challenges. We recognize that the issue that is topmost priority for all state-owned companies currently is financial sustainability. And so that is something that we think that going forward is going to require urgent attention. The company has no guarantees, has never had to get a bailout from the shareholder. And so that's been a good situation. But I think going forward, unless certain things are done, between the company and the shareholder, we find convergence on the immediate needs of preventing the company from getting into further financial difficulties. That would be a good thing. I'm going to leave it there because some of the issues which I'm sure this committee will be interested in will be in the presentation itself, the issue of, for example, irregular expenditure, which is something that we've been managing very, very closely. It's been building up over the years, and so the amount you will see is an amount that has built over a couple of years. But it's something that we are addressing. What is important to note about that irregular expenditure is that it's not as a result of any financial misconduct by anybody. There has not really been any financial loss. We have received value for money, and we're working with Treasury to ensure that that item on our financials is removed as we address some of the underlying challenges and underlying problems, for example, to do with the supply chain management. So I'm going to make those introductory remarks and ask the CFO to just run through the highlights for the year under review. The report of the company, integrated report, has been tabled for a while now in Parliament, and I'm sure members will have perused through the document to see what the issues are for the year under review. So with that, I thank you, Chair, for the opportunity, and I invite the CEO will start.
Now, before that, I think it's in order for me, you're most welcome. I think it's in order for me to specially welcome the entire delegation of the board, of the new members of the interim board, together with the chairperson, and you are most welcome. We hope that we'll be able to work in the manner that the minister has directed you and the cabinet when they approve your being an interim board of ALESCO until your time expires, and we'll be happy to interact with you time to time, and we appreciate that you have come. Thank you so much, and if you can now, it's your turn now as CEO.
Thank you, Chair, and good morning to the House at last, the Chairperson and everybody else. If we go to the strategy of slide number three, I just want to catch us on what we are going to focus on this year and the coming years. The very important point for Alexco to survive is to increase the courage in the land mining. And you'll see throughout the presentation, you'll express the lack of funding that we couldn't do more exploration, which is actually hindering the land production. But that will be one of our key focus for this year. Another one being the marine mining, both the mid and the deep areas. If we can, we inviting each and every contractor who can qualify to be in the deep and the deep mining sections. The third point that we were looking at was to consider the alternative revenue generating models. Now, if I start with the diamond beneficiations, we submitted the proposal previous year, but it has placed under moratorium, as the chairperson has said, with the Alexco strategy not being finalized by the shareholder. We kept it in the bag. Other commodities as well that we were looking at, if I can mention coal, but the coal project was subsequently declined by DPE, so that one is going to be out of the bag. But the long and short of it is that we are looking at managing the strategic risk to sustain the company and to manage the going concern. And if we go to the PSJV, I'm going to give the CFO now to go through this slide for us going forward.
Morning, everyone. Just a high level on the PSJV's performance. Just a little bit of background. The PSJV was given $200 million to get it operational. That was in terms of the deed of settlement. In the last financial year, they paid 10 million rand off the 200 million rand loan that was provided. They also have paid in 2016-17 financial year a profit towards the Alexco of 4 million rand. Due to the decrease in production in the PSJV, there has been financial challenges and there is a risk of potential going concern in the PSJV. In the year under review, that is the 2017-18 financial year, they reported a profit of 5 million rand. The carat production has decreased significantly, but it was primarily due to one of the contractors, both which caught fire in the previous financial year, which was not available for going out and exploring in the 2017-18 financial year, which accounts for why the production is lower in the year we reported. I think that is the high level from the PSJV's performance. Then if we move on to the achievements of Alexco, the chairperson has already mentioned that we received an unqualified audit opinion. There has been significant progress made in improving the SEM processes. We also have improved the quality of financial statements in terms of implementing software and also improved our timeliness reporting in terms of compliance with PFMA. Alexco reported a profit of 34 million. Majority of it is an accounting entry in terms of how we process the government grants that we release through the income statement to the PSJV. The other portion of the income earned is interest. Moving on to our performance indicators. The majority of the performance indicators at Alexco SOX Limited, we did achieve it. Specifically, the collection of rentals, there's been significant improvement in collecting back dates or challenges with historical rentals outstanding. We've also made significant progress in terms of our legacy rehabilitation, in terms of the removal of the asbestos material that was 100% completed in terms of what our target was. And in terms of the diamond beneficiation project, we had to put through a complete a strategy, and which was submitted to the department. The project is on hold. That is as a result of the moratorium placed on Alex School. And move on to the next slide. In terms of our procurement, we achieved our procurement target of 86% against the target of 70% from procuring from black-owned entities. From women, we also improved our, we did a lot better than our target. We had targeted 3%, we actually achieved 78%. We unfortunately lapsed on the black youth-owned and people with disabilities. This is also the limitation on the central supplier database, which makes it difficult to identify suppliers that are owned by black youth owned and people with disabilities. The PSJV, like I mentioned, under the year under review, they had a lot of financial challenges which impacted their performance indicators. And majority of their performance indicators show there's not achieved, but like I said, it's aligned with the poor performance in terms of revenue. The earnings before interest and tax was not achieved as a result of the reduced carrot production. Again, the total production, if you look at, we targeted 52,000 carrots and we only produced 41,000. Then moving on to the safety, we had one fatality. It was not through any negligence on the part of the PSJV. There was an accident in terms of a vehicle on the site, and there wasn't any clarity in terms of what was the actual cause of death of the person. In terms of training, skills and development, we had the artisans, which they were, we trained 21 against a target of 12. We were able to achieve this because it was in-house training and there was not that much of cost invested, investment required. On the technician trainees, we were unable to achieve the two that we had targeted because of financial constraints. The engineer trainees, the same principle applied due to financial constraints and also the internship. If we move on to job creation, you can see that it wasn't the targets again were not achieved, and it's primarily driven by the fact that they have financial constraints. With regard to their spending on black-owned entities, spending on women and youth, because of their location, it makes it impossible to target a wider population of suppliers. There have been a lot of effort put in to attract people to come and so that we can achieve these targets, but it's obviously limited in terms of the location of the mine. The annual financial statements, both Alex Kostok Limited and PSJV, were prepared on a going concern basis. The external auditor's opinion was unqualified, as mentioned. I'd like to draw attention that on the audit opinion, we had two regulatory irregularities, the nature of it. One was the procurement of the K-Sway software, which Alex could procure on the basis that that was the only software that was in the market. And it was motivated and submitted to the board and approved. But the amount is 300,000 Rand, and unfortunately, if you choose to use a single source, in terms of National Treasury's guideline instruction note number 3, that should have been approved by National Treasury. So hence it was recorded by the auditors as an irregular expense. Having said that, there was no financial misconduct, there was no financial loss. Moving on to the other item that we had reported as an irregularity was the increase in scope of the work on the rehabilitation. The original contract was awarded through a proper process of a tender. And when we increased the scope, in terms of the instruction note 3, if it is a construction contract, you're allowed to extend the scope up to 20%. And if it's goods and services, it's up to 15%, you can increase the scope. Unfortunately, it was an interpretation issue. Management interpreted the contract as construction because we were dealing with demolition and clearing up of asbestos, whereas the auditors indicated that it cannot be classified as such because we did not originally advertise it in terms of CIDB regulation. Hence the discrepancy, and hence the thing was reported as an irregularity. I'd also like to point out when we engaged National Treasury on this matter, they advised us that the whole 16% was the total value, total increase in the scope of the work. They advised us that we should not have put the whole thing as irregular expenditure. It should have just been the 1%. So instead of 6.9 million being classified as irregular expenditure, the 1% would have averaged out to only about 500,000 rand. Okay, then moving on to our consolidated income statement. It is a reflection in this current year, 2018, of the decreased production. Our revenue dropped significantly. Understanding that the primary revenue that is consolidated into Alexco is driven by the PSJV's performance. Our net finance income, basically the money that we have invested in the legacy rehabilitation, the funding that we received, it's the interest that we earn that we release through the income statement. Again, hence I said it's not a cash income, it's an accounting income. The income that we release through the income statement to incur the expenses for the legacy rehabilitation. Hence, the amount is quite high in this year under review. The cost of sales, you would notice, is a mirror image of your revenue because our revenue has decreased. The bar graphs reflect a corresponding decrease in your cost of sales, and that is in respect of all the previous financial years. The profit, as the chairperson has explained, and so have I, in terms of saying that 34 million, most of it relates to an accounting profit. Then moving on to our cash and cash equivalents, you can see over the years there's been a significant decrease in the cash and cash equivalents. That is expected because the bulk of the money that we have on hand is intended to facilitate the legacy rehabilitation. And we have a program in place to ensure that as the work is being done, we have a responsibility also to pay the contractors. Hence, you will see the decrease. And also noting that Alexco's major investment is only the PSJV. The government-funded obligation, this slide basically shows us the balance that we have in our cash account towards the township establishment. We have 3.9 million left, and towards the deed of settlement, any work related to it, we have 6.7 million. In total of the government funds on our books is 10.6 million rand. At this stage, I just want to highlight that the money for the legacy rehabilitation, it is sitting in a trust account, rehabilitation trust, which is obviously overseen by the trustees. Moving on to our fruitless and wasteful expenditure. The year under review, there was only 5,000 Rand incurred in fruitless and wasteful expenditures. It related to an Eskom invoice that the staff submitted late for payment. The previous year cost was condoned by the board. It, just to give a little bit of background, it related to a lease that we closed out earlier than letting it see its entire period through. It's related to the tender installation cost, which we should, because you're not seeing the lease out through its entire period and writing it off over the lease period, and you closed out the lease early, the cost gets expensed, and it's seen as fruitless and wasteful expenditure. The irregular expenditure, under the year, under 2017-18 financial year, you see we closed at 26 million. But of the 26 million, only 10 million related to the current year. And of the 10 million, I explained that the 7 million related to the extension of the contract, which should not have been, the full amount should not have been classified, and it should have only been 500,000. So there have been, in my opinion, an improvement, but also having said that, with the irregular expenditure, nothing has come to the attention of the auditors or management or the board that there was financial misconduct. If there was financial misconduct or financial loss identified, it would have then moved into another category of a fruitless and wasteful expenditure. So the amount on irregular expenditure is 10.3 million, but it's more in terms of interpretation of treasury regulations, more than us than someone doing something mischievous. The historical trend on the irregular expenditure, you would note, primarily related to soft penalties and interest. That was historical, like I said. There's been a lot of effort in terms of ensuring that our VAT returns are submitted timely and our tax returns to avoid the situation. And a lot of our cost that is sitting in irregular expenditure is cumulative, but we have made a lot of effort this year. We started in June engaging with National Treasury to get the cost condoned. In terms of investigations and disciplinary action on the irregular expenditure, all irregular expenditure incurred has been submitted to the National Treasury for condonement under review. The two cases have been lodged with the Business Crime Unit. The reason is National Treasury will not condone any expense if we cannot provide the documentation to it. There were two expenses or two contracts that we could not find the documentation. In the 1 year when it had to do with the lease premises, in the first year when the audited the tender, the documents were available. And when we relocated from Rosebank to Whitney, the documents got lost. And National Treasury was not comfortable to accept the fact that you just lost the documents. So they asked us to open up a case with the Business Crime Unit, and hence that was the process into ensuring that we can get the cost condoned. With regard to the interpretation issues on the National Treasury Instruction Note 3, we have issued warnings to staff and also put in processes to ensure that they fully understand the guidelines and also in terms of training them. Moving on to the next slide on our external audit findings. The broad categories of our audit findings related primarily to procurement and predetermined objectives. Our procurement concerns, I've highlighted it in detail, and I've also indicated the steps that we have taken to ensure that we mitigate against further irregular expenditure. The predetermined objectives, we have also put in place steps to ensure that they meet the SMART criteria and there is sufficient supporting evidence to satisfy the audit requirements. And we will ensure for the 2019 financial year that this is addressed, because the ones for the current year is already in place and we haven't gone back to the shareholders to change those. Other financial matters, at 31st March, the borrowings of the company, we do not have any borrowings. Because we made an accounting profit, we did not declare any dividends. We do not have any state guarantees. This slide just basically gives a picture of the mining contractors, local and non-local contractors. In terms of our local contractors in the Northern Cape, the land contractors, there's 21 and 89 in the marine, and 17 is outside the area and 12 for marine. Revenue earned by the contractors is, the local contractors earn 22 million for land, and on the marine side, 183. So a lot of effort has been put in to ensure that we're promoting the community within Alexandra Bay. The next slide basically gives you a breakdown of our township establishment costs. Just to put it into context, Alex Gold owns a number of properties, and they're also responsible for maintaining the roads, basically the infrastructure within Alexandra Bay. And until the official handover is not done in terms of giving it to the municipality, Alexco continues to maintain the responsibility of looking after the infrastructure. You can see there's been quite a bit of money spent over the years, and in the last couple of years, we've actually had to increase the crop cost. Due to increase in electricity and water costs, we had to also buy a refuse truck that has contributed to the increase in expenditure on the maintenance side of the township. Forward-looking, the Alexco has a financial challenge. We have cash reserves for operations up until 31st March 2019. We have been engaging with our shareholder in respect of the risk. One must appreciate that Alexco's only investment is the PSJV, and there's no other projects that are even in the pipeline that could generate further income to make us sustainable. So it's a matter that is with the shareholder regarding our financial constraints. If Alexco does not receive any support or assistance, there is a potential going concern which will result in the financial statements for the next financial year being qualified. I think the chairperson has addressed the concerns with regard to the board. It's an interim board, and we are again working with our shareholder in respect of making sure it's a full complement at the board level. During the year under review, we had a number of resignations. There was, for some reason, Alex has a high staff turnover in respect of their CFO. We've had at least three CFOs in the last year, and that's also contributed to part of the challenges we had on the procurement side. The CEO resigned last year, and was and Mr. Lemuhang Pizzo was appointed. The audit committee chairperson resigned at the end of May, and this has also since changed because Mr. Matana is no longer the audit committee chairperson. He has now been appointed to the board chairperson. Mr. Chairman is our chairperson for the audit committee.
Thank you, Adila. Just going to the challenges for the year to come. One, we mentioned the traction or the implementation of what we'll see as alternative revenue generation projects. That in current discussion with our shareholder, we're hoping that once the moratorium is lifted, we can go ahead with it. The other one is adequate working capital, and that resulting in obviously PSJV as a company that is generating money, or that's supposed to be regenerating the loan repayment to Alexco, are not actually producing what they're supposed to be doing. So we are obviously having lack of capital to reinvest into exploration or any other project. And then Adil have mentioned the capacity of the board members. I think that the chairperson has also alluded to the interim situation that is happening there. The other one is the deed of settlement. We are hopeful and we looking at it on a positive note that somewhere in the future this should be settled, because we are still holding to the properties company a large amount of money that should be transferred. The township handover, Adila just mentioned, last year's financial was 18 million rand. We should be concentrating on mining activities to regenerate our own money, but we're doing both mining and sort of community project. Getting into the deed of settlement, we also looking at certain services that needs to be under the municipality. They are still under Alexco, and those services are obviously costing us money. And subsequent to the signing of deed of settlement, there were properties that were supposed to be handed over to the community. That process hasn't happened, but some community members have sort of illegally occupied those houses. So it's a challenge that we have to deal with, because we cannot be the law to ourselves. But we're hoping that the CPA will be properly constituted, and once that has been done, we can start addressing the issues, sort of like your 45 million payment that has to happen to the Rustburg Community Properties Company. The PSJV challenges I've mentioned, the land carat, which has a negative impact. We are also exploring other options in case of marine mining. I mean, we would like to be actively involved so that we can increase the number of sea days or the production days. Seeing that Atlantic is very unfriendly to the smaller boats, so once we can get the capital to reinvest in much stable bonds, I think that problem will be sorted. Over and above that, the challenges that are related to exploration and the reserves on the land as well. So basically, these are the challenges facing both Alex and PSJV at high level. I thank you all.
The matter regarding the 45 million rand that has been set aside, I just need to give context to it. The 45 million rand is in a trust account. The background to the 45 million in terms of the deed of settlement relates specifically to the rental. So once the properties have been transferred to the community, for the next 10 years, that property will be rented back to the mine, Alex School PSJV. And in return, the 45 million, or should I say the 45 million is in lieu of the rental that needs to be paid over to the CPA. And due to the delay in the transfer of the properties as a result of the CPA not being properly constituted, we are not in a position to actually hand over the 45 million. The 45 million is not in Alex Go's books, as in keeping it into our operations. The money has been earmarked and ring fenced specifically to transfer once to the community once the property has been transferred over. Thank you.
Is it held in a trust account? I take that there are no additions from the board. Thank you very much for the presentation. I'm now taking hands from the member. No, thank you, members. Thank you. We are trying to rearrange here. Yeah. To pronounce the name in this order. Honorable Lienge, Honorable Mazoni, Honorable Lamini, Honorable Mare, Honorable Zweli. Did I not mention your name? Honorable Mare, did I not mention your name? I see your face is so serious. I thought maybe you have some kind of a complaint. No. Oh, thank you. Pardon?
I will clarify.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Other members, I hope I did not leave anyone out. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning to everybody. Chairperson, in appreciating this presentation, which is simplified, and then one can understand now Alex Core of yesteryear is different to the one that you hear about now, where there is explicit changes in the administration as well as in the governance. Safe to like to check, Chair, about the relationship between the communities now and the institution. There was an issue regarding the 45 million amongst the communities. How did you deal with that? And how then now is the understanding of the communities? Because at some point there was a notion that sought to say, do not mine now, come up with another method of sustaining the organization. So there were those conflicting kind of ideas. How did you go about, especially now that there is no other method that you see other than the PSJ? So is there any method that you contemplating to come up with that will complement what you are doing now? And then lastly, the municipality. Are you working well with the municipality, or are there any services that you render within the scope of the municipality and therefore maybe lessening the burden on the municipality in rendering their services in the form of public participation in execution of your duty? Thank you, sir.
Most welcome in that order, members.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Thank you to the board for your presentation. And I want to start out my opening remark, Chair, if I may, by saying I understand that you're a new board and you're not responsible for everything that's happened before you. But especially Mr. Matona will know the last time he appeared before this committee was during a state capture inquiry into Eskom. And unfortunately, we now are getting loaded with information that's coming through of possible state capture that happened at Alex Corp. And in actual fact, the evidence is becoming quite overwhelming to the point that we're going to have to create a dossier and present it to this committee to look at an investigation. And Mr. Matona was brave enough to come and speak to us about how he had seen state capture evolve around him, and I'm going to ask him to be brave once again and take this committee into his confidence and let us know if there's evidence of state capture that's happened. Chair, I don't say this lightly, and it goes along the lines of shelf companies being created and tender processes being approved within 3 days of the opening of these shelf companies that we have quite a bit of evidence are possibly linked to the Gupta family. Chair, I think what's most disturbing in all of this is if one looks at the benchmarking of rough diamond prices. Now, when you do the comparison of the rough diamond pricing, it's, you know, you take into account the Zeminski index, the Bloomberg index, Alex's own rough diamond index, and then the annual reports of rough diamonds. So, Chair, this goes back to, if we look at it correctly, there was a crash in the market in 2008, and worldwide, rough diamonds lost value. I mean, it was a worldwide phenomenon. No one could be blamed for that. The problem comes in is that Alex Corp started to lag behind once the price started increasing. And in 2013, if I look back, it's approximately 40-point lag in the international standard. In 2013, the lag had increased to 50 points. And one has to ask, was there tender rigging that was going on to intentionally price the rough diamonds at the price that they were, to intentionally sell them at a lower price to the preferred bidder? Because it's quite worrying when you see a differential of 40 points compared to international standards. Chair, Scarlet Sky became the successful bidder in March 2015 for sales and marketing. And this is where I have a serious concern, and I need the board to be honest with us here. The lag increased to 70 points, increasing only slightly to 65 points this year. And that's according to international benchmark. Now, I understand that Alex Corr went through a rough financial time. I understand that Alex Corr has felt undercapitalized. I understand that the carat quantity coming out had dramatically decreased. I understand that there were problems with the Richtervelde community, and there were land issues that Alex Corr was dealing with. You've had to deal with other mining corporations coming in. But the points are the points are the points. They cannot be influenced by outside sort of equations coming in like the Richtervelde claims or other mining consortiums coming in and wanting a claim to the particular area. Now, we know that the people of the Namaqualand area have got massive problems with Alex Corr. We know that you're dealing with that. And I'd also please like an update as to how we are engaging in terms of Alex Corr and the Namaqualand Diamond Corporations who want equal access and how we're dealing with that whole process. Because, you know, as members of parliament, we get questioned on this and people write to us continuously, and people have even gone so far, Mr. Matona, of coming to parliament. And, you know, it's a massive thing when a group of people come all the way down from the Namaqualand to parliament because they're desperate. So if we could have an update as to where we stand there, and please take us into your confidence as how it is possible that Alex Corr lags 65 points behind the international benchmark for their rough diamonds. Thank you.
In that order, members, if I may remind you, Honorable Dlamini, is here again.
Thank you, Chairperson. Apologies for arriving late. The Mr. Matona, the Chair, you know, one of the things that we were dealing with when we're dealing with the Eskom inquiry is that we, as through your evidence that you're giving, that at the time when we were there, one of the things that made you to leave was the interference of the board, deteriorating of governance under your watch, and they had to suspend you, all those things. But one of the things that we picked up is that, especially on board members, they get appointed as hired guns to come to serve the interests of that person who appointed them, especially the politicians when it comes to the ministers. Now, you left Eskom, you said you want to continue with your life. Now you're back with another SOE. Because what we don't want to do is to... One of the issues that the committee we have made emphasis on is that we don't want people to leave from here and then they come up from other state-owned enterprises with a different shape or form. And one of the things that we're not going to do is to replace one capture by another capture. What I want to understand from you, how did you become the either acting chair or what happened? Who called you? How did you... Now, as you are back in the system, so that we can start, we don't want to be sitting here after another 3 years dealing with another state capture of a different form. So how did you get back to the system? Did the minister, the current one, call you or anyone else to say, now come back, we have taken over, we are in charge of the system? Who's that now? Yeah. I just want to get clarity so that as we go forward, we can have a track of what we are dealing with, so that we don't get to a situation, because we are seeing now from Transnet, Eskom, everywhere, where the new board, they're not independent as well. They as hired guns, the first thing that they do, they go and chase everyone who was linked with the previous regime of the Guptas. Whether they did right or not, it's just a clean-up campaign. So we want to check how did you get in, so that you don't become a hired gun as well, and we sit here and we think, no, now Alexco and all the other companies, there's improvement, to find out that we are still in the same situation. So I just need to get clarity on how did you get back to the system. And then there's an issue of illegal occupation of properties. You know, our people, they need land, they need properties. Why are you delaying to hand over these things until... Because now you want to come to this house and always on your failure to deliver what needs to happen, and then our people, they must always be seen as these irresponsible people. They go illegally, they go and occupy, while you can give them, what were the timelines to hand over these properties before they can come in and illegally occupy them? Because you are saying it's an illegal occupation, but also you're saying there's a delay. Why there was a delay? What were the timelines? Because our people, they cannot be held in ransom by incompetence of officials. If you have to do something, it must be done. If they can't do it, they can't sit forever, because the officials, they decided to be incompetent, and then they must sit on the side on things that they should have been delivered. So what were the timelines on this on the issue of these properties? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Dlamini. Honorable Dlamini, on one question, and on that relates to the appointment of an interim chairperson of the board. In all fairness, there is no chairperson of the board that appoints himself or herself. It's the minister, and the minister takes that to the cabinet and the approval. If, as members of the committee, want to know how the chairperson of the board was appointed, that question must be directed to the minister. And the minister will be coming to the committee before end of November. We're still awaiting for the approval of the house chairperson. If it does approve us to meet on a Tuesday, I did announce it at the previous meeting last week where you were not in attendance, that we are seeking to meet on Tuesday, we are requesting to meet on Tuesday the 27th. And the minister is available on that day, but we are still awaiting for the approval, because it's not our day, for the approval from the House Chairperson. If it happens that we are unable to have the minister coming before we go on a recess, members of the committee have all the right to put the question in writing to the minister. And from where I'm sitting as a chair, it's very unfair that we interrogate the members of the board here as if they have appointed themselves. But you have a right to ask such questions when the minister comes before the committee or in writing. And may I have now Honorable Seli? Thank you.
Chair, one second before, because I don't want this to move as if I was interrogating or I've got an issue with Mr. Madonna. No, it's not the issue. It's just a simple question that I'm just asking. And I'm sure he understands that the level where he's serving. This is not some small crash where you just catch feelings. It's a simple question. Who appointed you? If you said it's the minister, there's nothing wrong. It's just a simple that question. You know, there are levels where you serve, where you just need to put feelings on side. It's a simple question. It's not a personal attack or anything to him. I was just asking a simple question just for processes. If you said, now I'm appointed by minister, case closed, it's finished. As you're saying, we're still going to deal with them. I'm not questioning his credibility or anything. I'm just saying, how did it happen? Because we had the same situation where you start asking, what happened? No, I was called in some hotel in Midrand, and this is what we had to deal with. So it's just an issue of transparency, and I think he's a leader, he has led it. It's senior level. That he can't catch feelings on it. It's just a simple, straightforward question. There's nothing. He assisted us in the committee. So I've got nothing personal, or I'm not attacking him. It's just a simple, clear question. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Dlamini. I thank you for your explanation, for your clarification. I still rule that the question must be directed. That simple question, who appointed you, must be directed to the minister. Thank you very much. Honorable Seli, please come in.
Chair, let me welcome the presentation by Elesco. I think they presented, to me, they presented a very good picture of what is happening in the company. No state guarantees, the 34 million profit, unqualified audit opinion. But the way forward says there is a risk of placing the company under business risk. And that year, I'm asking myself, why this beautiful picture, and at the end you want, there is a risk of placing a company
under business risk. I don't understand this thing. I don't think I'll be wrong to suggest a contradiction of some sort. Maybe you'll have to clarify this particular aspect when you respond. Your Procomman site says you have difficulties in identifying people with disabilities and youth companies. And I'm tempted to suggest that it means even the element of women are faced with the very same challenge from your central supplier, as indicated. I don't remember which slide was it. Why would it be difficult from your central supplier to identify companies led by people with disabilities and young people? It's an issue that you'll have to clarify, really. I'm worried, Chair, despite the fact that you managed to achieve most of the targets, but with regard to those that you did not achieve, I don't see some interventions as to how are you going to deal with those targets going forward. I would have wanted a situation where there's an indication of how are you then going to deal with the targets that you did not achieve in the form of some intervention in that regard. I don't see it in all instances where you did not achieve the targets that you have set for yourself. Because those are your targets, they were not achieved. What happens next? Limited number of businesses owned by designated groups in Richtersveld. It's a concern to me because it's not enough to come and report to the committee that there is a limited number of businesses owned by designated groups. What did the company do in that respect? It should be your responsibility in one way or another to make sure that you have people in that area from the designated groups so that going forward you're then able to have these people benefiting in the work that you are doing as a company. There is a 1 million irregular expenditure which came as a result of you procuring the services of a company somewhere. I don't remember which slide was it. It's an issue that you will have to explain as well. What led to this kind of a situation? Why wouldn't we have a company sector and we are then forced to get external person or external persons to come and render the services of a company sector, leading us to a 1 million irregular expenditure? It's a concern to us. Really, maybe with the explanation that you are still going to give us, you will then be able to clarify that particular aspect. I'm worried about the from a social responsibility point of view. I don't see things that you have been doing over and above the things that you do on daily basis. What else are you doing, in particular in rural areas, over and above the work that we are doing on a daily basis? The slide does not, the presentation is very silent in that respect. The social responsibility area of your operation, I don't see it. On issues that emanated from your last appearance here before the committee, it's an issue that we have raised numerous occasions that when entities come and appear before us, we expect them to as well give us progress with regard to the issues that we have raised in the previous engagements. I don't see them yet. And progress as well in terms of attending to those issues. Like we always say, we don't raise them just to tick the box. We are raising these issues because we want these issues to be attended to. I don't see it yet as part of your presentation. I would have wanted over and above this presentation, there is a progress in terms of the issues that we have raised. My colleagues earlier, I think one or two, raised the issue of the 45 million for Richter's Feld. I don't know since when have you been talking about this issue, Chairperson. When are we going to put this thing to rest? The beginning of the term, this term, we've been talking about this thing. It's an issue that has been there even before this term. But still we can't resolve this issue. The CPA, which is not in accordance with the structure that is required. I don't know why are we not resolving this particular issue. Maybe there's another reason why now you have illegal occupation of the land in that area. I'm worried about us not being able to resolve an issue for so many years, the 45 million payment for the community of Richter's Feld. It's an issue that really needs an explanation. Chair, but as I've indicated, a beautiful picture that has been presented. But now the very same company that is presented, there is a risk of placing it under business risk. I don't understand this thing. Let me pause, Chair. Maybe they will explain, and I hope the explanation will be successful. Thanks.
You're welcome. Honorable Mare, I'm sorry. Honorable Mare and the Chairperson will be the last.
Thank you, Chairperson. I don't want to repeat in length that's already been said by other members of the committee, but there is two serious issues that I really want to address, and I would really love to have the feedback from those present. I'm sitting on this committee now for a very long time, and this issue of who is representing the communities is an ongoing saga. Now, somebody must now take leadership, and even if we had to advertise in the newspapers and drop pamphlets and call everybody from the community and elect then somebody who is representing the people and get a transfer done of the 45 million, it must be done. Because this term is ending of this Members of Parliament next year, May, and this is not resolved in 5 years' time. Really. It's unacceptable. I don't want to say it again, but it is unacceptable. Number two, I want to know, they must explain to me, let's go to page 8 on the key performance indicators, financial performance. Now I understand when they say like notes that not achieved due to sea days being affected by bad weather, and the one vessel that has a fire on. But what I want to be explained in detail is the selling of the diamonds under the market value or price benchmark. I want an inquiry in this regard. Something is seriously wrong here. If we have an investigation in Eskom, this is going to be the next one. And people must go to jail here. But something is colluding here. Of the selling of the diamonds price. Something is wrong, seriously wrong. And I want it to be noted here today. Chairperson, thank you.
Thank you, welcome all of Samara. My first question deals with the slide that talks about the achievements of business opportunities or the targeted focus areas of the youth-owned business, women-owned and disabled. You only mentioned that is happening and not achieved, but within the area where you operate, but there are surrounding areas that are supposed to be serviced by yourself. Norport and Upington. What about those? Are you attracting the youth-owned business, women-owned business, and people with disabilities in those areas? Because if you do, maybe you would have been able to achieve the target. And then the second point has been also raised by Honorable Mare, that we have a delegation, and then and another member also raised that even before in other meetings, delegation from community, from contractors, that have been constantly attending our meeting if you do appear before the committee. And they kept on raising one and the same thing. And I joined this committee October last year, and it's over a year now, and those issues have not been resolved. And when I first heard about the issues, they were not new. They have been in existence for many years. I recall a meeting that was called by the NCOP, of which a select committee, of which the chairperson of the select committee invited a number of departments that are involved on this issue, rural land reform department, national treasury was in attendance, and there were timelines that were put. When I'm raising this, to you and the department. There were timelines that were set up by the select committee. I joined that select committee when it already started, but I was able to grasp a number of issues that were raised by the NCOP select committee members, including what Honorable Mare is talking about, the legitimate committee that represents the community, and that should have been elected. And if I recall, that should have happened by now. But I have met with the delegation. They requested my audience just before the meeting began, of which they are raising that did take place, but that was not as per the court order. But the community were not consulted when that a committee was elected or appointed. There were no consultations, and also they have not received a report that you are supposed to have a report back to them. And the community contractors also were not a consulted. Their name is what? Pool and Share Joint Venture, huh? Yeah, Pool and Share Joint Venture, which is a commercial term of their mining contract that were changed unilaterally. Oh, it's a complaint that was changed unilaterally without them being consulted. And something that when that happened, there were strong arms into accepting the new deal. Oh, it looked like it was done forcefully for them to accept the new deal. And the last point also, what Honorable Mare has raised is that that Diamond Sales Channel was obviously corrupt, and contractors were cheated on the deals out of their diamond sales prices. Yeah, it's similar to what Honorable Murray has raised. After we've dealt with this, I'm going to ask my team to make a copy for you, our assistant committee officer to make a copy for you, Chair, in order for you to have these grievances. There are about three grievances, but they are very similar to what Honorable Murray has raised, because I want to give you a chance as a new interim chairperson, work on it and revert back to me before end of this month, if I may. Let me pause there and allow, maybe let's start with the CEO and the CFO to respond to questions, and then other members of the board, if they so wish, and then the chairperson will close. The interim chairperson of the board will close on the responses, and thereafter the chairperson, then the department will come in to make an addition. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I'm just going to go randomly to all the questions, but I'd like to start with the township handover question that was raised by the member of the House. What has happened there, we have segmentized the handover into phases. So the phase one, that we were here 9th of May and said we're going to start doing it, is happening. Phase one is the soft issues. That is your graveyards, hospitals, schools, police stations, all the properties that are sort of owned by the government. Those are, we are in process of transferring them to the relevant departments. The problem there is the delay is with the state attorneys who are doing conveyancing. They find out that the survey coordinators are not aligned. So we have the old system, and now all the documents have to be converted into the new system. But that being the case, the phase one process should be finalized. We should be signing memorandum of understanding with the municipality, the provincial government, as soon as the 22nd of November. So the phase one part of it is ongoing, and there's a lot of support, thanks to the Northern Cape government, that they are pushing it. So we are moving in that regard. Going to the question posed by Member Zoni, first I have to explain that the sales contract is not with Alesco, it's with the PSJV. But I welcome the fact that we are exposing the indices that you've mentioned. We were, from the Alesco side, when we looked at the sales report, we were looking at the Rappaport index. So we never looked at Yoshimansky and the Bloomberg. But I welcome the fact that there are comparison based on other indices that we should start looking at. And again, after our AGM, the minister asked that SSI should be looked at by another auditor. So it's not within us as Alesco board, or sorry, Alesco and the board. But is that the shareholder was maybe add to that issue, because it's the same concern for you, for Ntate Mare, and for the chair. That issue is being escalated as well by the shareholder. The going concern, I'll leave that to the chair. Just to touch on the 45 million issue, Chair, Alecto is a state-owned organization, which means we have to abide and comply with the PFMA. Now, and I understand the emotion when it comes to this 45 million rand, but we must also take into cognizance that we as accounting officers, we have the responsibility of distributing the funding coming from the fiscals as per PFMA. I would like to see the money being transferred as soon as possible, but we cannot break the rules. Hence the money is put in a separate account. We understand the urgency and the emotion involved with the 45 million, but to get it out from one account to another, and Adila will, my CFO will add more, there are processes that have to be taken, and those legal steps, I think our shareholders also chipped in so that it can help in that regard. The other issue raised by Member Zoni and Tatemara, the committee or the relationship between us and the EAC and everybody else, there was a willingness to meet, and there's still willingness to meet. The delay in Alesco side was based on there was a DPE investigation that was supposed to happen. So we didn't want to meet amid the investigation in progress because we were going to be seen as either interfering or trying to influence whatever the outcome of the investigation will be. But subsequent to that, our shareholders will also explain that the investigation is on hold, and I think the view with the interim chairperson is that we should go ahead and start communicating with the community members going forward. If I can also come to the procurement targets, the black youth and the disabled. I think one thing the House must remember is that we are 200 kilometers away from Springbok, 600 kilometers from Upington, and another 1,000 odds from Kimberley, 800 from Cape Town. So in our case, we have to use a central database if we're going to look for companies. Now, by location or by geographical dispersion, you're not going to get most of the youth companies in the Springbok area. Now, to travel 20 kilos from, say, one township in Johannesburg to Johannesburg, that's 200 kilos when you are actually not going to make money, just going for a tender. I think that's a barrier to enter, but we are addressing it. Some of the things that we've done now is to try to localize certain services for the Rustenburg Municipality so that we don't have to look at only CSD database, but to start establishing it in the area ourselves. So it's a work in progress. Unfortunately, the production or the merit of the production this year did not reflect what you wanted it to be. So there is a cash flow out strain, and obviously when that happens, you like to hold on to the cash that you have, considering that there's a going concern. And that goes for the CSI and Tatetsedi, that your last year expenditure on CSI has drastically reduced, not because there's no project, but because of the cash constraints. We're looking at using the money on operations and the little money that we have on certain projects on the CSI. We know we did not meet last year's target, but that's because of the cash flow constraints that we have. The diamond sales channel, Chair, I think I've responded by saying we are going to look at all other indices as well. The commercial side of it or the non-commercial, the non-procurement side, I think the shareholder will add on that part. For now, I'd like to give to my CFO to finalize.
In respect of the 1 million rand irregular expenditure on procuring the company secretary services, as I've indicated, that for some reason at the Alexco head office there's been a significant turnover on staff, and specifically a company secretary's position. When the previous company secretary left, the board had appointed another company secretary, knowing that the position is a very strategic position in terms of making sure that nothing falls through the cracks. Board meetings are held, compliance with PFMA, reporting to Treasury, reporting to DPE. At that stage, I think the board had not been informed that the new Treasury regulations, Instruction Note 3, curbs the amount that you can actually go and single source or appoint someone. It should have gone to National Treasury for appointment for a single source. And they were basically trying to bridge a gap, and unfortunately it should have been appointed through National Treasury. That is why the cost was indicated as irregular. With regard to the risk of Alexco being placed under business rescue or the challenge of a going concern, just to put it into perspective, Alexco, I've mentioned, has the single biggest investment is the PSJV, which Alexco has been managing in terms of the funding that was allocated. There was $200 million allocated to the PSJV. Alexco has been facilitating the process in terms of releasing the funds as and when required for the operations of the PSJV. Alexco had certain projects in the pipeline. One of them was the coal project, which has since been canned as a result of it was not approved by the Department of Public Enterprises. The diamond beneficiation also has been put on hold. These were intended to assist us in terms of generating some sort of income. And with regard to not having a steady flow of income or revenue, it has now put us in a very precarious position. So we can do all the administration side of things in terms of complying to PFMA, reporting to Treasury, reporting to DPE. But if there isn't a sustainable form of income within Alexco, that is why there is a potential issue of a going concern. The PSJV has not been performing as reported in the 2017-18 financial year, and there's no way we can get any sort of returns from the investment. And also, Alexco's other function was to ensure that the town maintenance, the upkeep of the town maintenance is being done, and that function has been carried out, and has been carried out through the funding that was obtained from National Treasury. But that does not make you sustainable. At the end of the day, Alexco needs a project or a vehicle in terms of where they can generate income to make it sustainable going into the future. If I can hand over to Mr. Dinana to answer the questions relating to the PSJV.
Board members, petition.
Okay. My name is Sambi Dinana. I'd just like to shortly get into the what I would call the challenges of managing the community, the CPAs. Because one has found that there are perennial problems in terms of the divisions. When we came in 2015, I think there was sort of a very good reason that probably could get to pay this $45 million, and suddenly a court order was thrown at us in terms of the settlement agreement. The challenges behind the CPA have been addressed by the DPE, by Alexco, by the rural development, but somehow pulling it together has just been an unattainable goal, which is why at some point we said, because you move this way and you get all the people to give you their bank accounts, and immediately a court order is thrown at Alex Go, and you've got to back off because they are quote. I mean, everybody is sort of quoting the clauses of the of forming that CPA, and the CPA was responsible in terms of, for example, the Richter's mining company, and all those people have sort of disappeared. So this perennial problem is probably going to be sorted out in cooperation with land reform, DPE, the community itself, getting some leadership, because the moment it's sort of thrown at the company only, the company is going to be sort of accused of taking sides. But let me just look at on some positive sides in terms of these things. I mean, during our term, we've had the chamber of business. I mean, formed more local, companies both on the marine and on the land have come into this whole thing. I'm sure you saw the stats in terms of the monies which are being paid to mining contractors. Some may be subcontracting, some may be the main contractors, but ultimately the bulk of the revenue goes to those mining companies. And lastly, you know, when there are sort of serious divisions in any communities, some people are very prudent and pretty. They know how to exploit some of those divisions, and they will sort of then. There was a letter which I picked up, which was dated 2002, which was written to Minister Alec Ewin at the time, and I picked up a letter which was written this year. It's raising complaints about the Alex Cole thing. It was exactly the same photocopy of what had been raised then. And my question was, what are these people trying to gain out of sort of raising sort of these problems which have been resolved but which cannot be resolved at the same time because of the divisions? That's why I say I must bring it to the attention of the committee that these perennial problems have got to be probably an administrator if that is going to be the way. But a quick one about the social responsibility. Most of the teachers who are teaching maths in that area are paid via this social responsibility. All of them, actually, before they are sort of handed over to the Department of Education. But all of them currently are paid through this social responsibility. Thank you, madam.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and members of the House, honourable members of the House. I'd like to elaborate on some points that was raised. The relationship between the community and Alex Cole, according to me, is fair to good. The relationship between the community and the PSJV, there might be an animosity there. And that comes from the factions inside the community, because the moment the community formalises themselves and they get ready for the election to get the CPA properly constituted, there's interdict, as my colleague has referred. So everything that we do to get this going forward, there's always been interdict. So the community itself is so disorganized and faction with those different families in different areas and towns that they can't organize themselves. The last discussion that we've had with this will lead that we might come back and say we would like to place the CPA in administration so that we can take over the ruling in the relationship and then constitute it properly from our side. That will obviously die with DPE and with rural development. And another point I would like to raise is that after Life of Mine, we've also considered certain projects. Fish farming, which is big in that area, that's a very, very prime area, and it's obviously of the virgin nature because it's never been farmed because of the diamond activities in the area. Olive farming in the land, after rehabilitation has been done, and solar power in the area. I would like to touch slightly on the SSI. I think it was handled, but I would like to, because of the questions being raised. SSI was awarded the contract before the current executive or the current board was in system. We did do an investigation from our side after we were appointed as the board, and we welcomed the investigation from the minister into this forensic audit, what has happened there. I can say that at the time of our investigation, there was no rumors of state capture or anything of that nature. So we were not alerted to look at those type of activities. On the diamond prices, very difficult. And I know this is a contention and it was a big concern of the minister at the AGM. In our area specifically, the diamonds in the south fetches a far lower price than the diamonds in the north. And that area is 80 kilometers apart. The diamonds on the land fetches anything from $130 a carat to $250 a carat. The diamonds on the beach fetches anything from $450 to $550. The diamonds on the deeper mid-sea and deeper, right at the back where the midwaters, where Yatoba, that was caught fire, their prices is only around about $160. The best auction they've ever had was $305, and that was the previous auction. Not the one that was held a week ago, the one that was just before that. So from a price discovery point of view, the way that the tender goes, and the tenders are well attended by international buyers, not local buyers, international buyers. They come in, they value the parcels, they put the bids, and the best bid won on the Friday afternoon when the bid is closed by the Monday, the money must be transferred. So our diamond prices, in actual fact, our 2018 average price so far for the year is $914. And I make homework every quarter to look at the BS prices and our neighbours, because it's relevant that we manage or create the expectation of our neighbours' prices. Now, if we look at West Coast Resources, which is our neighbour to the south, their average price in sea and land is about 30% lower than ours. If you look at Barkencorp, which is in the mud, which is also our neighbour, but in the water or in the river, they fetch prices of 20 to 30% higher. But you need to understand the geographics where your diamonds are coming from, the quality and the size. Size is ultimate. We've had diamonds that sold for $70,000 to $20,000 a carat. That's my average price. Since the majority of the diamonds, the 0.7 sells at $400. The single stones sell at $17,000 plus, so you get an average price over that. So how do you benchmark that? Except by price discovery, if you know that the buyers there is from Belgium, Rotterdam, Dubai, India, they come and they attend the auctions and they auction. So from our point of view, and I still welcome an investigation into that, but to give you more clarity specifically how the discovery is made, is by a closed tender discovery. We value it upfront, we benchmark it, and we know what our minimum should be, and it's our choice to withdraw diamonds from the auction or not. So, and we haven't withdrawn diamonds this year or the previous year from auction because we fixed the prices that was market related where they were benchmarked. Spoke about the filing court. On the sustainability, the reason why the chair and our CFO has mentioned this, because this board will be reckless if they didn't bring it to this committee's attention of our situation. Currently, we're going, but because of conditions that have been put upon us, we are reckless if we're not telling you that we'll be running out of money by the 31st of March. Our honourable member opposite me, which asked who was representing the community. Due to the fact that there's no constitution in the CPA and all the affiliates that they go down, they don't have currently representation. The representation has been by court appointed, which Alex Corr applied. Otherwise, the existence of the PSJV was at risk. It couldn't function because there was no board members from the RMC. So we went to court, and the court appointed three board nominees from the community so that the PSJV could keep on functioning. Youth implementation, our gentleman next to me, our CEO, has addressed that quite well. To come back to the question that the chair has asked on the strong arm of the contracts that was adjusted, I would like to talk to that for a minute, if you don't mind. With the presentation that came from management to the board was the following, that these contracts was given to the contractors on the mining contract. The work that was done was bedrock sweeping. So to get a mining contract, the split in the company is 80-20. That is what we split. And when we do exploration, that's what we do. That's 80-20. Because of this, it's an inferred resource. You don't get anybody that wants to come to the mine and then that area unless you can put them on the mark where they're going to find diamonds. If you don't have the mark and they have to go shotgun blazing, then they'll, a lot of our contractors just backed up and walked away. So what management presented to the board at that stage was the following. The bedrocks was open. That's where 90% or 99% of your money is invested, is to get to the bedrocks. That was done by Alex Corr in exploration phases and by other mining contractors that opened the bedrocks. So the contractors got the contracts and the mining contracting. Now that the bedrocks was, this was the presentation from management, that now that they were sweeping the bedrocks and they were finding obviously very, very good resources, they came back to us and asked to revisit the model and subsequently change that model. The community members has approached me as a board member. I engage and interact with them regularly. They phone me. They've got my mobile number. They can call me, I wouldn't say 24/7, but Achab phone me sometimes at 10 o'clock at night, and I always take his call, and the board will engage with him. So can I firm on that? Thank you. So to answer your question, we will talk to them and listen to them. Unfortunately, the contracts is managed by the PSJV. The Alice Corr is not mandated or is not in our power to handle the contractors because it's a function of the PSJV at the mine. But from Alice Corr's side, we can engage with the PSJV board, which some of us are members of. Thank you, Chair. Thank you, members.
Would appreciate that, Chair, wrap up, and then the department comes in.
No, thank you. Thank you very much, Chairperson. I hope that we've answered most of the questions. I really don't have anything to add. I do feel, however, that I should respond to the question that Honorable Mazzoni raised around whether at Alex Corr, in the time that we've been there, we have seen any state capture. And I can tell you that if we had any evidence of any wrongdoing, we would be the first ones to act, because none of us would want to risk our reputation to be part of an operation that is not kosher, so to speak, as it were. And as my colleague Trevor has raised, when there were issues, allegations raised, we went into to look at that, and we satisfied ourselves that there was nothing untoward, as it were, as a board. However, we are aware that, as has already been indicated, the minister is also undertaking an inquiry. We welcome that, because it's not pleasant to work under a cloud for any of us. It's not pleasant. So any inquiry about any mischief, any wrongdoing, any crime committed, we would welcome that. And I hope that when, as the chair said, when you engage with the minister, as a shareholder, you will deal with these issues so that the minister can give a direction and leadership. But I'm sure the department will do an update on that issue. Chair, I'm sure having heard everything, you will appreciate the enormous complexity that is associated with this company, with this business. What I can undertake is that in as far as there are matters that are within the competence of the company, of the board, to deal with, we will do so. We will do so without any hesitation whatsoever. However, where we get stuck is where we require other parties to play their role. We require the department, the public enterprises, we require the Department of Rural Development, because some of these matters, for example, the constitution of CPAs, their governance, are their responsibility. It's very, very difficult to have that responsibility be allocated to a company. But having said that, Chair, you recognize this is a company that, in any case, is already taking all the responsibilities, which are not typically responsibilities of companies anyway. Neither the big mining diamond mining companies in that area have the responsibility of running a township. That is, if you talk about greatest contribution to social improvement, social development, that's what you have. This company runs a township. It's not supposed to be a permanent situation. At some point, that responsibility must shift to the local government, because it's municipalities that have the responsibility of running a company. But because the situation is such that if the company does not do that, things will be very bad in that area. So it is out of responsibility and a recognition that a state-owned company, Alexco, has to make its contribution to making sure that the living conditions of the community are not negatively impacted. But the situation cannot continue like it is. Something has to give, Chair. So this committee has also been seized with this matter for a while. We will, taking advantage of me as a new chairperson, again, just take stock of where are we at, and we'll engage with you, because you may be able to unlock some of the blockages that are preventing things from moving ahead. I've seen some members, stakeholders of Alexco in the House. I have indicated that we have no problem to engage. We are willing and open to engage, because it's only through engagement that we can solve problems. And some of these problems can be solved by communication and engagement. We have no reason not to want to talk to anybody. We have no interest in not talking to stakeholders who have legitimate concerns. So we will engage, as has been said. I'm gonna leave it there, Chair, and perhaps the department can come in.
Department.
I just want to find out, give us an opportunity for a clarity or a follow-up.
They might be able to give some light on here, and then we'll come. If you still feel that it's not enough, then we'll come back for a second round. Department?
Good morning, Chairperson. Good morning, honorable members. Murunga Mutengu, I'm the director in the Department of Public Enterprise, conducting oversight on Alexco. I'm just going to touch on the community issues and the delay in the payment of the 45 million. As mentioned earlier, that there were some meetings that had taken place earlier, congregated by the NCOP, and the Department and Rural Development had responsibilities to ensure that the community is stabilized. Rural Development attempted to convene a meeting with the different factions of the community. There are about four. So there are about four factions. The other factions wanting the money to be paid into the beneficiaries, and the others wanting the money to be paid as per the deed of settlement. So there are a number of challenges, and Rural Development could not complete that task as the factions did not agree on the way forward. So in September, we met with the DG of Rural Development to elevate these discussions and take the matter forward. The CPA Act gives powers to the DG of Rural Development to intervene decisively in stabilizing the issues within the CPAs. So we anticipate that by the end of the month, we'll have direction on how the Rural Development will stabilize the CPA. It is an issue, and we are putting all efforts to communicate with Rural Development to resolve this matter. Yeah.
Chair, just to add on to that, Morongwa has actually spent quite a lot of time with the Rural Development in Northern Cape, where, for instance, there was a decision that the committee needed to make as to how the 45 million rands has to be paid out. It had to be put to the individual members of the community, and the overwhelming response there was that that money should be paid directly to each beneficiary. But now that would obviously require that a deed of settlement is amended, because as it stands today, it says the 45 million rands must be paid to the Rachtersfeld a property holding company. That process has been delayed by issues like court orders, for instance, that have been taken out, and we are hoping that the DG can assist in addressing that particular situation. Chair, on the issue of the township, there's also a joint team with COCTA to facilitate that particular handover. Technically, as we're sitting here today, the township is part of the Rachtersfeld municipality that came into effect from the November 2013. What has been the challenge is the municipality identifying the resources to take over the responsibility. That's why Alexo has had to step in, because it needs to have a functional township, because they have some of their employees and contractors' employees that are accommodated in the township. Because of the remoteness of the area, accommodation must be provided. So it's on that basis that Alexco has stepped in. So that particular process as well we have made good traction, and we're hoping that by the next cycle, the municipal finance cycle, which is basically June 2019, that funds will be allocated to municipality to be able to take over that response. That this will now be from National Treasury, facilitated by the Provincial Treasury. The investigation that we started, I mean, that was on the recommendation of the department to the minister, and then to say we want to have the issues that have been raised by various correspondents that we have received from the contractors, mainly to be looked closely at, including allegations of this sales and marketing company, SSI, how they were appointed and how the diamond prices are being set, and only one those to be looked at. We appointed a law firm, and this was around March, April this year, to look into this. Unfortunately, almost, I'll say most of the service providers, because they've been entangled in the state capture issue. And what we found out was that particular law firm had been cited in a matter at PRASA. So what we had to do, we had to say we can't continue with this service provider in the face of this information that has come to light. So we had to basically terminate that relationship, and we are going to have to appoint another law firm to step in. That unfortunately has meant that a lot of time has been lost, but obviously we had to do so in order to protect the integrity of that particular investigation. So that's where that is, Chair. And we are also hoping, as the minister obviously concludes his work, we've come in there as to the permanent board for ADESCO, that that momentum can, the momentum in, into that investigation can pick up there. Thank you, Chair.
You're most welcome. Any follow-up questions? Honorable Mazoni, you are the first, followed by Honorable, followed by Honorable Rancho, and then Honorable Swartz, and the last one, Honorable Zeli. And that's what I'm...
Thank you, Chair. Thanks very much, and thank you for allowing the follow-up question. Chair, my follow-up question goes, again, back to this benchmarking of diamonds, because I understand that this board is new, and you weren't around in 2008 and 2013, et cetera, and I'm not trying to accuse you of anything, so I don't want you to think that I'm accusing you in any way, shape, or form of state capture or colluding with it. That's why I started by saying that I understand completely you're a new board, and I have faith that you will expose anything that you come across. But it has to be noted that the differential of 65 points between what Alex Corp benchmarks their rough diamonds and what's done internationally is incredibly concerning. Now, I've been to the area. I went up with a colleague of mine who is the DA's constituency head, and I have seen the area extensively. I understand better than most about the different forms of diamonds, the carat that come out. And you must understand that I will never ask a question if I don't understand what I'm asking. So I want you to know that I do know what I'm talking about when I ask the specific question. Now, when it comes to the bidding of the diamonds, I understand the way the bidding is done as well, and I understand that various carats, clarity, etc., will affect the price per bag, and sometimes you'll get a good bag, sometimes you'll get a bad bag. It depends on the haul, so to speak, that comes in from where it comes. But what worries me and what concerns me is if I have seen graphs that show the Szymanski and Bloomberg ratings, why has Alex Corp, why are you not looking at these things? Why are we not, I mean, your colleague said to us that you know, Alex Corp doesn't look at those benchmarks. So, Chair, could we ask that perhaps Alex Corp provides this committee with a copy of the benchmark that they use? Because I think that will go a long way in explaining to this committee, and certainly putting this committee at ease, as to how the benchmark differential of 65 points comes about. And I don't think it's confidential. I don't think it would be in any way commercially sensitive, because the other benchmarks are open to study, and that's how I know about this, because, you know, I read up on these things. And I do think that you know, especially given the precarious financial situation, as was explained to us so clearly, that we should be looking at ways in which we start normalizing ourselves in terms of international standards, so that, I mean, we could potentially be losing billions of rand here. And we need to understand why this differential exists. Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Chair. Chair, I am not sure if I have heard correctly what Mr. Hofbrook said. But if Mr. Hofbrook said that Alexco can explore other areas within the same area or nearby areas in Richtersveld, I just wanted to to say what is holding on, to ask what is holding them back to recruit. Maybe if there is riches in the water for fishing, if I heard him correctly, why not use the unemployed people and try to explore, maybe take 5 or 3 of them and see how the business will grow. Because the main intention of government is for people to be employed at the end of the day, to deal with hunger, poverty, and all those negative things that we have in the country. And you take the department along with you, so that the department can say that there are other avenues that Alexco can do. But you don't leave diamond, you don't leave mining, because you have explored other avenues. The second is the issue of the investigations that you have done. I don't think when you did the investigation, you also were looking deep into the issue of fate capture. You know, with the experience that this committee has had during these years, is that there are very intelligent people that can hide fate capture within your own house, where you work, where you wake up every morning and where you sleep. People can capture your house without you knowing. So Alexco is a company that can be captured. According to the complaints that we got from communities that were here, representations that they gave the committee, there is state capture in Alexco. And I want you to look at the investigations, Chair, and check those indications if you won't find them. I'm not saying you will find them. I'm saying check if you will not find the indications. The last, Chair, is I want us, the committee, to commit ourselves in saying, if it is difficult for the committee chair to engage with people, as you're saying, the local government, the social the rural development department, it's difficult for you to come to a sort of a conclusion on how you take the issue of the community forward. I think, Chair, we need to commit ourselves into saying, if that still happens, this committee should take all those stakeholders, should meet all those stakeholders in one roof, and then we then deal with the issue for once and for all. Because if we are going to say we are going to leave it solemnly on Alexco and the board and the executive, and it is not happening, we will come here every now and again and say, why is this not happening? And yet, at least as this committee, I think we have muscle and we have law on our side that can protect us in doing so. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. My apologies for being late. I was in the Justice Committee, and I just wanted to touch on one or two issues. If it has been covered already, Chair, please rule me out of order, and I'll get the information later. Can I just ask, following on what the Honourable Mazzoni asked on the valuation of diamonds, does Alexco value the diamonds before they mine, before they leave the mine at Alexander Bay? And if so, who does that valuation? That's the first issue. The second issue, Chair, is something that we also there's a lot of historical issues, and I do appreciate that we've got a new board. You obviously are fully aware of your fiduciary duties. There's a very strong move from Parliament, from all of us, to address state capture and to implement sections of the Companies Act. You need to be very aware of that. From now on, at Eskom, we are suggesting that directors that fail in their fiduciary duty be declared delinquent directors. So it is a very serious from this going forward. Things have shifted dramatically. And I trust as a new board that you fully appreciate every obligation in terms of the Companies Act, the PFMA Act. Can I then just ask, there is as you look at your irregular expenditure, what we find at Eskom is the new boards are going through previous contracts, tenders, and they are finding other issues of irregular expenditure, irregular contracts. Have you embarked on that process, and is it something that you will be doing? For example, there was a contract in 2015 to reprocess marine tailings. Has that been looked into? Are you aware? You might want to respond in writing to that. 2015 to reprocess marine tailings. Who was awarded that contract? Maybe you can respond to that in writing as well. Then, Chair, just from an oversight perspective from our side, I haven't been on the committee for long. I would like to just, maybe when we draft our legacy report, we need to look at to what degree have we exercised oversight by actually going to the area. Ms. Ranta, Honourable Ranta, indicated going there and meeting with community members. And I think we need to highlight this issue. Many of us are new members on this committee. Ms. Mazzoni indicated how she had gone to visit the Alex Corps, but I don't know whether the committee ever went in this period. But it is an issue that we need to highlight to what degree that we fail in our oversight over the years in preventing the state capture and the state of Alex Corps prior to this new board coming in. So, Chair, thank you for allowing me those few comments.
Chair, just on the issue that I raised earlier, because if you don't deal with some of these issues in a transparent manner, you leave the committee with a lot of unanswered questions. And in a way you will then doubt your unqualified audit opinion. I'm raising this thing because even somewhere here, I think it's like 23, I see as part of your action plan, your supporting evidence not satisfactory. That's part of what you want to do to deal with the external funding. But the point that I'm mostly interested in is the point I raised earlier of the company sector. Because if a company sector resigns, my understanding is that you'll appoint someone internally to act under normal circumstances. So in this instance, a company sector resigns, you go and procure an external person to come and operate as a company sector. And that causes 1 million irregular expenditure. So the explanation that you are giving me is not assisting me. It's not assisting me. Because under normal circumstances, for example, if a CFO resigns today, it means in the manner, if we're to follow this trend, tomorrow you'll appoint someone to come and act as a CFO from outside the company. It's out. You can't explain that. You can't. I see you're trying to justify it, but you can't justify it. It's understandable. You can't explain that kind of a situation. Why would you go and get someone to come and operate as a company secretary, despite the fact that it's a specialized field, you need a person with some kind of skills also? Surely there must be someone in the company who are supposed to have operated as a company secretary until such time that you have appointed a company secretary. So I'm raising this thing because tomorrow you will still come back to this situation. This 1 million regular expenditure, if you operate like this. You can't have a CEO resigning. You get a CEO from outside, you say, can you come and assist us and do the work of a CEO because the CEO has just resigned. It's out. You can't just fight. So all I'm saying here is that there are a lot of questions that are that leaves this committee with doubts in terms of the presentation that has been presented today. Maybe we might need a special session. I don't know. It's unfortunate. Parliament will rise in the next three weeks or so, but I would have wanted a situation where there is a special session specifically to make follow-ups on quite a number of issues that have been raised here. There are a lot of issues that we are not satisfied with as the portfolio committee in terms of your presentation. Okay.
Thanks.
Thank you very much, Honorable Members. That brings us to the issue that I've been raising since last year, that we need more time frequently to meet with the entities. But unfortunately, with the packed program of Parliament, that the half of the period that under review were taken by the inquiry work of the committee, we're unable to meet as frequent as we could have done. But also the nature of our entities being a companies and also being unable to report early some of them through their on their performance, what is called the financials and annual general annual report, we're unable to fulfill that goal. But I think for going forward for the next Parliament, I think we've laid the basis. We've tried our best to meet more frequently, and I think we've laid the basis for the next Parliament to take over and improve on what we have ourselves, if you could term it as we try to improve, and they can do even more than what has been done by us. But I'm not closing. I'm just saying. On the issue that was raised by Honorable, the last issue that has been raised by Honorable Sally, coupled with that what has been raised by Honorable Ranto and supported by Honorable Swart, I so wish that we can have an opportunity to do oversight and take the committee to that area. But with the election period that is remaining, it's going to be very difficult. It's not going to be practical possible for us, because when we the Parliament rises and for December and early Jan, when we come back, usually the focus is about going back to school, a campaign, and the open registration weekends. And then we come back in Feb for the State of the Nation address and the budget in Feb, and then we will have to go for a recess for all parties demand early recess to campaign, because our term ends in May, end of May, not unless the president pronounced the election date beyond May. But otherwise, we know that we're employed by the speaker here up to end of May 2019. Now, that brings a difficult for us to amend all the program that we have. But having said that, I do want to say that there is a need for the department to also maybe assist in bringing on board the cooperative governance department. Did I say it correctly? Yeah. In relation to the municipality that is expected to take over certain functions for that community, because that's a legal process that will involve that department. But I think it will do no harm in terms of bringing that municipality on board, just for them to observe while they are not taken, they haven't taken the functions legally, but at least to observe and familiarize themselves with the issues of that those communities that they've been taken over. That you, as an entity of government and as a company in your own right, have been seized with, which are supposed to be the issues that are being attended by the municipality. We know the capacity of the municipality needs to be strengthened and supported by the national treasury, as we've heard from the department and that. But also would want to, you, when you come back for other entities, or in writing by end of November, to give us a progress report on what is being done by the rural and land reform department in relation to, as they are being empowered by the legislation to drastically intervene on the communities that have a CPA problem or intervene to the CPA themselves. Honorable Ranto talked about that why don't you employ even if it's three people, and I think that in other ways it's just to say have a pilot project to test whether that can work or not. And I think also she talked about the state capture within the ALESCO. And she says, she doesn't say that you are going to find anything, but you have to check. In other words, it means there were elements of the state capture that were raised in relation to ALESCO. When was ALESCO on the list of the committee? It was not. So in other words, if there are elements that are being raised by certain quarters, you'll have to take that seriously and look at it, because as she's responding to saying that even where there's been an allegations of state capture, things started there small in a small scale, it grows and grows and becomes a monster. So it's just to caution you that you if there are allegations or there are certain issues that have been raised, it's better to check, given the history that we are coming from and we are still with. I think I've talked to the joint stakeholders meeting. I would like to say that the meeting of rural development and land affairs and the local government, the cooperative government, maybe even ourselves, we can, if we do have time, I'm not sure whether when we have time, if it permits next year, maybe even ourselves, the Honorable Zeli and Honorable Ranto, that we would want, and Honorable Swart, will need to meet, have a joint a committee with those other portfolio committees in order to get a progress on this issue. Before I get into my closing remarks, I would want the department to come in and explain some of the issues where comments and in relation to what has been raised by Honorable Swart on the being responded in writing, you respond to the chair and to the chairperson of the committee. And then let me, maybe before I move to the department, let's start with the entity, whether chairperson, is there anything that you would like to touch on arising from the follow-up question and then the department be closed. Thank you.
Chair, I'm going to ask Mr. Hasbrook to follow up on the benchmarking. For the rest, I think we will take those issues as part of our agenda with the committee going forward. We will come back and provide written answers where we don't have the information currently. But let me deal with the company secretary issue. That's perhaps one the only other issue that I think we should deal with because it has come back. So what the situation is here is that there was a vacancy, there was a gap opened up in respect of a company secretary. Now, if you understand how boards work in terms of corporate governance, that role, in fact, it's even much more important even to the roles of the executives, the company secretary role. This is an organization which at head office is kept very, very minimalist because the operations of the company are at Alexander Bay. So there's no need at head office. This is something which we, as a board, have been cautioning against. Don't bloat head office because the main operations of the company are in Alexander Bay. Keep a minimal staff, and that staff is very, very minimal. I think it's about seven people. So there was nobody who could perform that function. And without a company secretary, the company is exposed to serious risk. Because, as you correctly say, it is a special. I used to take it for granted. I thought secretary, they can just get somebody and say, come here, take notes, take minutes. There is a particular expertise that is associated with that role. And it is available as a service in the market. There are companies that specialize in providing that service. And so when we've confronted that challenge, we thought, let's go to the market and get that service, which we did. So we gained value. The only problem that happened is that there should have been three codes to obtain. We should have gone on a three-code approach that wasn't done, and that's why this is a real expenditure. But value was gained. We actually got a very, very good person, highly knowledgeable about corporate governance, prescripts, legislation, and she served us very, 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 very well. So it's a very, very important judgment call we made about what is in fact a very, very important function, which leads me to the question about directors' fiduciary responsibilities. We could not as a board operate without our governance structures being up to scratch. And so even the issue of our responsibility when we can see, because corporate governance says don't just look at now. Look at the business ahead. What is the prospect of the business in the next 3 months? What is the prospect of the business in the next 6 to 12 months? And if you see that there are problems, flag them now. And so what we said, we've been fine, but looking ahead, we can see signs that we could be in trouble. They can be avoided. We work with a shareholder. Many of the decisions that are required, if we were not a state-owned company, we could be taking those decisions on our own, you know, entering into opportunities, pursuing other prospects, as it were. But state-owned companies are not allowed to do that. Even when you do that, you must then go to the shareholder and say, shareholder, we have identified the following opportunities. We think they will help the business in this way. Give us the approval, and sometimes the way that process works can complicate the life of a company, because the shareholder must familiarize themselves, they must analyze things before they can say, go ahead. And we are at the point right now where I think that what we were saying to the committee is that there must be convergence between the company and the shareholder with regard to what is the exact financial situation, what is required, how do we ensure that the company does not get further into the trouble. And that's all we were saying. We're raising this as a red flag so that when we come back 12 months down the line, you don't say, but you were here. You didn't tell us. You didn't raise the fact that there are potential problems that are looming. So we are just raising it as a precaution out of responsibility. And the idea about business rescue is that where a company cannot meet its obligations, cannot operate effectively, sustainably, and the shareholder cannot assist it, then there's only one point in terms of Companies Act. You have to go to business rescue. Otherwise, we as a board will be trading recklessly, because you cannot continue to run a company that is sinking deeper and deeper into trouble, financial trouble, without taking responsibility as a board in terms of our fiduciary responsibility. So I'm glad that Honourable Member did raise the fiduciary responsibility of boards to say when you see things are going wrong, you must act preemptively and don't wait until the problems get serious and cannot be resolved. And that's all we are saying, and we need the assistance of the committee in being aware of these things, and to the extent that you engage with the department and the shareholder to also help convey the same message. I'm going to let Mr. Hadbrook deal with the benchmarking thing. I'd like to thank you, Chair.
1 minute. Thank you, Chair. I'll keep it short, Honourable Members. Your concerns is duly noted. We will act on that. I'll get back to you exactly with the benchmark. How we value the diamonds get valued and parceled at the mine, but it's not an exact science. So the mine doesn't have the capability to tell you we know how many carats there are because we weigh them, but we can't tell you exactly what the value of the parcel is. The parcel gets transported to the vault in Johannesburg with Malcolm Mitt, or G4S, which we use there. There it gets sampled, valuated, with an independent valuator. They create our benchmark then at that stage because of the different qualities that we get. And that then gets put on auction with a minimum reserve price. And we always overachieve. But to get back to you, we will get back to you exactly on the benchmark that's being used at that stage. On the state capture, I just want to say for my sins, I'm disabled, white, being part of this board, DPS, supported disability employment, and obviously the minister as well. So I serve with this at the behest of the minister, and there's no way that I will be captured by anybody else except by the minister. I can only talk for myself. I must admit I would be very disappointed if anybody else. To get back to the honourable member on this side, the projects that we've identified, the fishing, the olive trees and the solar plants, that's for after life of mine. Nothing stops us now to start doing outside our concession areas. We can start pilot projects. I have some investors involved talking to us to assist, and it will all be localized, all local community projects on anything, even from the rehab side. The marine contract tailings, I'm not aware that there's a current contract on the mine that does marine tailings off. We have signed a MOU with a company, VMS, that's going to start doing rehabilitation of old stockpiles, but that's for the recovery of heavy mineral sands, and in the event of them striking a diamond, that's under security, that will then be to come back to Alex Corp. We have a board meeting in January at the mine plant. That is the proposal from the board, from PSJV, and I would like to invite this community or this committee to visit the mine with us in January. Chair. Short, sweet.
I think thank you. department.
Thank you, Chair. With regard to the marine tailings, if Honorable Sword has information that he would like to bring to our attention so that we can look closely at that, we'll appreciate it. I'm not sure whether the response that the company has given, whether Honorable Sword is comfortable with that. Chair, with regard to the municipality, we do have a joint committee with both the province and the municipality that is working on the issue of preparing the municipality to be able to take over. So they have full visibility in terms of the skills that they will require to run the systems that have been installed there. So that is being taken care of. We will provide the report as you have requested on rural development in terms of the process that they are undertaking and the progress that has been made. They will make sure you get it by the end of this month. I think that's all the issues we need to comment on. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. This is what's going to happen. In relation to the issues that we raised on behalf of the delegation, I think most of the questions were answered, and really there is not much that the chairperson can now write back to me. And the guests are here, they've heard it for themselves. All that the committee, the chairperson that I'll hold him responsible is that he says that there is no need for them not to have a good working relationship with the community as the new chairperson and other new interim board members. But already you have heard that we have asked the department and they've committed themselves to come back to us and they give us an update report on the tasks that are beyond the public works enterprises department and beyond the entity, our entity, which has to be addressed by the rural development and land reform department in terms of intervening as they are permitted by the legislation, by the way, by the Act, to intervene on your CPAs and the CPAs and in your case in particular. But I want to say something also in relation to the differences and then different groupings and within the communities. It's really true that it's very difficult to work with a divided community. And if the committee doesn't sort itself, it's going to be difficult for anybody to intervene. It has been reported that it's difficult even for the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform to perform their task that is permitted by the legislation because of the conflict that is there among the communities. And really, there is very little that can be done by the company to sort out the issues by the community. If the community doesn't want to sort out their own issues, there's very little that can be done by the company, by any company for that matter, that will come and work in your area. So the community must resolve their conflict. The demarcation that's used to demarcate you as different towns, the sooner the better the municipality is capacitated through the cooperative governance and national treasury and supported by funds as well and capacitated to bring together the different communities that are within the municipality, the better. And that also, that step would be able to minimize the conflict that are among the communities. So it means you as a community and you and contractors within the community, you have a role to play to clean your own house and put your house in order for you to be legitimate, to be recognized by any department, by any company. But doesn't say that the company must not consult you, must not, but also the consultation is very difficult to consult with different groupings. That's why you have to put your house, you clean your house and put your house in order, so that you have a legitimate structure that can represent the community where the entity and any department can communicate with, and that trust, legitimate trust, takes back the feedback to you and report back to the community. Having said that, I just now want to get back to the departmental issue. Department, in relation to the chief and entity, the benchmark, you'll have to bring in the documents on the benchmark as has been raised by the portfolio committee, because you are due, by the way, to come and report, give us a report on your first quarter, to come and make your presentation on the first quarter report. I think sometime between Feb and March. So you would want to have those benchmarks. If you say that you can't give accurate, but I think there are estimated benchmarks that you can present, if you can do that. And then the second part for me is that department make sure that ALESCO does interpret correctly the instruction, national instruction of the instruction of note 3, so that we don't have a repeat in the next coming financial year or the current financial year that we are in. Having said that, I just want to congratulate you for obtaining the unqualified opinion from your external auditors. But what has been raised by Honorable Sedi is very important, that this is your external auditor's opinion. So make sure that you attend what has been raised by them, because maybe next year, in the next financial year, or in 2 years down the line, you will be audited by the Auditor General. And by the time Auditor General comes in, you should have sorted out what has been raised by your external auditors, so that you don't get into trouble. Because you don't want to see yourself ending up with other entities that I won't mention the name, that independent or external auditors have been saying, yeah, we are doing very well, we are doing very well. Suddenly, there are balloons of irregular expenditure that has been accumulated over years when their opinions were so good. I'm not saying your company or firm that you are using is that, but I'm just cautioning that you take that into consideration. And finally, and I think we are now done with the presentation, and I'd like the members to get into the adoption, consideration and the adoption of the minutes. I take that all members did receive the minute, copy of the minutes. If you can just go straight to the minutes. First page, usually members check that one, their names. Yes, if you so wish, you can sneak out quietly. Thank you very much for coming, board members. We'll see you in future, and the entire delegation. Thank you. The guests also are allowed to sneak out quietly if they so wish, but please don't disturb us. The meeting is still on. First page, remember, it's not a long meeting. It's just a 2.5 page. The first page is about the attendance. Second page, any issue on the second page? Nothing. Can I move to the next page? Half a page, third page. Just a conclusion. Is the conclusion in order? Nothing. Okay. If there is nothing to correct or amend, can I now ask for a mover to the adoption of the minutes? Honorable Ranjo move for the adoption of the minutes. Any seconder? Honorable Mare?
Honorable Mare will second.
Thank you very much. Honorable Mare does second the minutes adopted. Thank you very much, Honorable Members. We have come to the end of the first session of our meeting, and I now request that we adjourn this meeting, but Honorable Members, please remain for the multi-caucus session of the meeting. Thank you very much, Department, and remaining guests, the meeting is adjourned. Yeah, if you so wish, Honorable Members, you can join that seat so that you need to be closer.